Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know and repeat every week who we are and what God has asked of us, because we are told through our Lord Jesus Christ that we are to love God, love others, and go. And that is the heart of our church. That's why we're called the Heart of Christ Church, that we would love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. Well, today, as you know, I've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and it's all in lieu of what we began with, this great delusion that is being poured out upon our world. This past week, something happened that pulled me away from what was planned to be preached today. And then the Lord showed me, no, they're one and the same. They're tied together. And what I'm talking about is the shooting that took place down in Tennessee at Covenant School. Does that name sound familiar? Yeah, we meet at New Covenant Christian School, and that was Covenant Christian School. So yeah, it kind of struck. And as I thought about this, and as I looked at the way the news media was preparing things, and I saw what was going on, the Lord God showed me something in my heart, and I've been preaching on this, and you've been listening and taking it in, because I spoke on what happened. Everybody right now is up in arms. They want us to look at guns, where they want us to blame guns. They want us to think this was all about guns. They want us to think that this was about the transgender community and the sufferings of these transgender people that the world is placing on them. Folks, this has nothing to do with guns. This has absolutely nothing to do with an LGBTQ agenda. This has everything to do with one thing that Jesus Christ told us and that I told you 2 weeks ago. This started all the way back in Columbine. Do you remember what that shooter did? He walked around and he asked the kids, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And as they said yes, what did he do? He shot them. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, and for all of you who are out there on internet land, get it straight. We have got to be awake and see what is happening. Jesus is teaching us here from the Sermon on the Mount. He is putting things back into the standard that was meant to be from the beginning. And we're going to look at part of that today. But right now, I need to deal with what went on down there and where the heart of our church should be and where the heart of Christendom should be, to understand it's where the heart of our nation should be. For we have been established that we know that we are created by our Maker with certain unalienable rights. And those rights have created this nation known as the United States of America. And we as patriots thereof honor our God and love our country, and in that order. So this is not a war against guns, and this is not a war against LGBTQ. This is a war against one thing, and one thing only. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus told us these things would come. And we need to understand they're here. They've been here. And we are going to deal with it, and we need to call it what it is. And I'm going to name it today. From chapter 5, I want you to look at verses 10, 11, and 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. "Hear ye, church, the word of the Lord. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Each of us needs to understand this had nothing to do with guns. This has nothing to do with the LGBTQ. This has everything to do with Jesus Christ and the word of Christ being proclaimed in that school by those teachers unto those children. We need to understand the ruler of this world does not care about you and I. He cares about the generations who are coming up. He's been waiting for this time since the beginning, since the fall, and it is adding up in his favor because we have stopped doing what we need to do as the body of Christ. We have stopped doing what we need to do as a nation because we've been lied to by our politicians. We've been led down a road. We've been fed a bill of goods that has poisoned the minds and the heart of every church, of every child that has been born in this nation. And if you think you've not succumbed to it, think about the things that you do. I think about the things that I do. And I think to myself, why do I do those things? And yet I remember the words of Paul, the things that I want to do, those are the things that I do not do. But the things that I do not want to do, no, they are the things I do. Why? Because there is one in this world who wants us to see him but does not want us to recognize him because he wants to do it all in secret, but he always shows his hand. We need to understand the LGBTQ people stormed the Capitol in Tennessee, and so did the gun rights activists. How many of you saw that on TV? Okay, it was in there. It was out there for everybody to watch because they made a mockery of it. And within 3 days, our president stands up, doesn't say anything about the children or about Christians, but says we need gun reform. Yeah, we need gun reform. We needed armed guards in that school because we have become a mockery unto the world because the church does nothing. The church doesn't say anything. The church does not speak up. Well, today I'm speaking up. Why? Because I was one of them. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. We all know who we were. We all know where we have come from. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We remember where we came from. Each and every one of us knows where we've come from. From verse 1 in chapter 2, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." That is exactly what happened in Tennessee. One of the sons of disobedience, a daughter of disobedience, however you wish to look at that, she was a girl but thought she was a man, so I think that qualifies. "Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk with them." Brothers and sisters, you and I both know, all of us know, everybody out there knows, we are sinners saved by grace. We have come into a grace that is a gift of God. Our gift was a gift that was given to this nation when it was established, that it would be the very principles upon which this nation was built. So therefore, we allowed anybody to come in the borders. Anyone could come in, but you were going to live in a Christian nation, a nation that honored God, a nation that honored people, that you get to choose. But now we live in a land that wants to tell us what we're going to do and how we're going to live. How did we get from such freedom to such tyranny? We are slaves in this land. But who are we slaves to? I need us to remember that the one I am speaking of always shows his name. Always shows his name. He lets us know what he's doing. He will not allow anyone or anything to take credit over him. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? In the end, he destroys everything that raises itself up with him because he will not share glory. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. I want you to think about this. I have the picture up here right now. I didn't know Ryan was going to have the PowerPoint up, or I'd have actually given him PowerPoint for this. It's so strange because I put this together on PowerPoint and then said, no, it doesn't work, so I pulled it off. I get here today, and Ryan's got the PowerPoint sitting right here beside me. You tell me God ain't in this, and I need to listen a little bit more. Somebody say amen. Amen. You think I'm joking? I ain't. Three faculty were killed, and I'm going to honor them right now by reading their names. Mitchell Hill, 61. Catherine Kuntz, 60. Cynthia Peak, 61. One man and two women. But the shooter didn't end there. The shooter then had to take out innocence. Because remember, Jesus loved the children. He knew the generations to come are what we need to protect. So therefore, this evil spread forth itself yet again and took out these three. Evelyn Dekos, 9. Haley Scruggs, 9. William Kinney, 9. So, Pastor, how does this equate to knowing and understanding that Satan has done this, that this is his mark, that this is what he's doing, that this is a war against him and against Christ? That goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? Goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And you will bruise his heel, and he will crush your head. Now, I know I said that backwards, but I wanted to say it backwards. But we need to understand, how does this show that? How old were the three adults? 61, 60, and 61. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, you can't go there. Oh, I can't? Well, how about the kids? They were each 9. 9 and 9. If you don't see his fingerprint, you're not awake. If you don't see what Satan is trying to do to us, you are not awake. Wake up, O sleeper, and let the light of Christ shine on you. Please understand what is going on. Jesus Christ is alive and well, and the evil one does not want us to see what is going on. But he who has eyes, let him see, and he who has ears, let him hear. Thus saith the Lord. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, how does this tie in to where we're going? Because it is the tie-in. We need to understand Jesus is reestablishing everything here. He's showing us what's going on and what's going to come against. Not a what, it's a who. And did you ever notice that when they talk about Satan, they don't have a problem calling him a he? Talk about God, talk about Jesus. Now we need to question things. I wonder why that is. Well, let's find out what Jesus has to say to us today as we continue in our sermon series. Because we need to ask ourselves, what are we seeking for? We truly need to understand what Jesus is talking about. And these people that were in Tennessee at the Capitol screaming, you know, do your job, do your job. They need to do their job. They need to bring about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the freedoms that we are supposed to have, and the instruction unto life that brings us life and not death. Turn in your Bibles back to the book of Matthew. We're going to turn into Matthew chapter 6 and continue on in our sermon because it ties directly in to what I have just said to you today. Matthew from the 6th chapter. Starting in the 25th verse. And I am going to read the whole thing, and then as I've been doing, we will go back and break it down. I'm going to read 25 through 34. From the 25th verse of the book of Matthew, in the 6th chapter, thus saith the Lord. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ to our immortal souls. And the church says, amen. And amen. When we look at what Jesus is speaking to us here about, we have to go back to verse 25. And he says this to us. He says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? When you and I think about what Jesus is talking about there, how many of you think he is talking solely about eating, drinking, and clothing? It is so amazing to me because that is the context that he brought to the people. Why? Please understand, Jesus speaks to the peoples in a manner, HGRT, historical, grammatical, rhetorical, theological. When we do hermeneutics, we have to look at the historical meaning. We have to look at the grammatical meaning. We have to look at the rhetorical meaning. We have to look at the theological meaning. When we are looking at the scriptures, we need to go back in history and see what was going on. We just spoke about it today in the men's ministry, and y'all didn't even know it. In the early days, you did whatever your father did. If your father was a poor slave, you were going to be a poor slave. Do you see how this ties in? You guys have no idea what God is doing in his house. But let us open our eyes and start to see. He's trying to talk to us. But we need to have ears to hear and eyes to see. When we think about where we are, here those people were. They were looking for what they could eat, what they could drink, what they could wear. Why? Because they were prisoners of Rome. They were not only under Roman persecution, they were under the persecution of their own government through the priests, through the Pharisees, and through the Sadducees who taxed them. We need to understand what's happening in our world to us. When we think about what's going on around here, how many of us think about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink? No, we think about how people are going to accept us. And are we going to have that big group of people that calls us their friends? Is my life going to be comfortable, and am I going to be happy? Well, let me tell you something. Comfort and happiness have nothing to do with one another when your comfort is in how you feel about your living. Am I living with air conditioning? Am I living with plenty of food? How many of us here today beg food? How many of us here today understand that tomorrow I've still got food in my refrigerator? Good glory, people, I've got 3 freezers in my basement. In some countries, I'm more stocked than a supermarket. Jesus isn't talking to us here about just food and water and clothing. He's talking to us about a way of life. He's talking to us about what we perceive. He's talking about us about what is going to be our first in life. Are you going to seek after food or are you going to seek after God? Is that really what he's talking about? Look at the next verse. The next verse from 26 says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Now, I have literally heard preachers say, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to think about tomorrow. God will take care of all our needs. So, therefore, we can all just go on welfare, right? And let God take care of us. We just sit on our laurels and he's going to pour out the blessing from heaven. No. What does he say? Look at the birds. I want you to think about the birds. Jesus wants you to think about the birds. What the birds do. Birds fly around, they make babies. They seem like they have an awful wonderful time. They get to go wherever they want, whenever they please. Boy, I wish my life was like that. No, 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 no. What do birds actually do? Do you understand that birds are responsible for spreading more seeds than any human being ever could? We have the diversity of plant life in our area because birds have taken the seeds from certain trees, eaten the fruit thereof, and then when they defecate, what do? They make a mess on our cars and on our laundry, hanging on the laundry line, don't they? They spread seeds, hundreds of thousands of millions of seeds. How do you think God plants the earth? Not only do they do that, but you see, birds kill millions of insects every day. I want you to think about what our world would look like if we didn't have all those birds out there eating all those nasty bugs. How overrun would our world be with insects if the birds weren't doing what God created them to do? Oh, no, that's evolution, right? But you know it doesn't stop there, because not all birds eat seed, do they? Some of the birds eat aquatic life. Yeah, there are birds out there that eat snails, that if they didn't eat the snails, they would literally overpopulate in the creeks and in the rivers and in the lakes, and we would have a mess of aquatic life. They also eat carrion. They also eat rodents. I want you to think about their deal, what they do, what God has created them for. And they do it without complaining. They do what honors God. They do what glorifies God. Do you see what I was getting at this morning, guys? Because God has created them in such a manner, just as he has created us, to honor him in all that we are. I don't care what you do for a living. What I care is what you are doing what God designed you for? Are God's morals and values the basis of your creation, of your life? Are you working with God in what you are to be? You can be a doctor. You can be a janitor. You can be a garbage collector. You can be a PhD at some university teaching somewhere. But I want you to understand this. No matter what you are doing, are you living your life according to the measure that God has given us to live it? Because we are to be his image here on this earth. Now, we're broken, but Jesus Christ has restored us, the church, to that image. And that's what we are to be about. We need to understand. God here is telling us, stop worrying about what those people out there are talking about. They are leading you astray. That is the delusion. Get your eyes over here. How many of you realize President Trump was arraigned on April Fool's Day? Not arraigned, excuse me. That doesn't happen until Tuesday. He was, what's the word I'm looking for? Indicted, thank you. Indicted on April Fool's Day. I'm telling you, my God has a sense of humor, people. My God has a sense of humor. There's going to be a lot of people out there saying, well, he's getting political again. Suck it up, cupcake. God's political. He shows himself in everything, just as the evil one has to show himself in what he does. So too, God will show himself that all men are without excuse. Let him who has eyes see and ears hear. We need to understand God wants us to get back. This is what Jesus is doing. Remember, this entire sermon is bringing us back to that which God established through Adam and Eve. Jesus isn't raising the standard. He's reestablishing the standard. Stop worrying about how many people are going to like you in this world and start worrying about whether God loves you. And are you doing what God wants you to do? Because if you are, he's going to bring people into your life. That's what that scripture's talking about. He's going to bring blessing into your life. He's going to take care of you. And you're not going to have to worry about anything. But you still have to live your life. You have to get about life. You have got to be involved. We have got to add to what God has given us to add to. So sitting at home in your basement, doing absolutely nothing and drawing a paycheck, yep, that's what God wants you to do, right? No. God wants us plugged in. God wants us working in this world to bring forth light. Isn't that what he told us? We are salt and light. That we are to be out there. That we are to take our light and shine it on a hill. We are to put that lampstand in the window so that everyone in the house, and not only the ones in the house, but people who are outside in the dark can see that light and come to it. That's what this scripture is talking about. Each and every one of us has a purpose in life, and God has established it for us. But the evil one has lied to us and told us it's all about this other stuff. That if my 401k and my IRA and, you know, if it's not prepared, oh my goodness, I'm going to be ruined. No, you are not going to be ruined. God loves you, and he's going to take care of you. Now, does that mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory? Does that mean that there will be no consequences in life, that there will be no struggles? No, it does not, because we live in a sin-filled world. Who created that? We did. With the help of Satan. But we accepted it. And now we live in it. But Jesus wants to understand something. Remember, if he says it once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's very important. Let's look at the next scriptures, chapter 6, verse 27 through 30. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and thrown into the furnace, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Boy, he ought to write my name right there. Can I get an amen? And I'm talking about your name, not mine. That ought to be addressed right to Richard Dubs, and then you can all put your name in there too. Because that's who we are. We are of little faith. We worry, we wonder, we look, we desire. Why? Because of the lusts of this flesh. From Ephesians, did we not read that in Ephesians 2 just a few moments ago? You see, we still have those things in us. We have been renewed in the Spirit, But the sin of our fathers, the sin that we have committed, it still taints us and it still colors us. And he, the evil one, knows how to get a hold of it. Yep, that way. He knows how to get a hold of it and use it against us. But we need to understand, God here is telling each and every one of us, yes, we are going to die one day. We all know that. Why are you so worried about these things? I will give you far more than you could ever hope for, because all these things that you're hoping for, they're going to burn up too. So start hoping in He who is eternal. There's only one that's eternal. No, guess what? We're all eternal. The question is, where are you going to spend it? I'm not spending my eternity. I'm investing it. I'm investing my eternity in heaven through Jesus Christ. He's my broker. He's my banker. Because only Jesus saves. There ain't no savings and loan out there that are going to get you to heaven. There's only one saving grace, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we put all our hope in Him, when we put all our life in Him, love God, love others, and go. Isn't that the pyramid we were just looking at today? For you ladies, I'm sorry you weren't in our class. And for you out there on the internet, God works in this church in so many wonderful ways that Sunday school lessons prepared by other people that I have nothing to do with fall right into play with where we are and what's happening. We're not the only church that this is happening to. This is happening to all the church of Jesus Christ. But we need to understand, folks, what's going on out here in our world isn't about these things that Satan wants us to look at. It's truly about Christ. It's about our life in Christ. It's about life itself. And we're throwing it away for likes on Facebook. We're throwing it away because, you know, and one of our congregants here told me that, you know, folks asked him if he goes to that church, you know, that redneck pastor. So I'm a redneck pastor. I'm glad I have a badge of honor, right? I guess I'm a redneck because I wear t-shirts at the pulpit. But notice my t-shirts all point to He who is my guide, He who is my salvation, He who is my hope. Because the reality is, I'm supposed to wear Christ on my sleeves. I am to have Him imprinted on my forehead and on my arm. Not that I literally carry it there, but that when people look at me, when they look at you, do they see Jesus Christ? Do they see God? Do they understand the hope that you have and the knowledge of love and the power of purpose? Oh, my heavens, dear brothers and sisters, when we get to express the power of our purpose, why do you exist? To love God, to love others, and go. Because in that I find my purpose. I can be whatever God wants me to be. I can be working at the post office. I can work for the state. I can have my own business. I can be retired. And yet in it I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto Him unto that day. Can I get an amen, church? Because when we do, the promise of God comes true from the rest of the scripture that we read. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You and I need to get through each day, because every day the evil one wakes up We wake up and we wonder, Lord, how can I serve you today? Lord, how am I going to see you today? Lord, use me today. Satan wakes up every morning. Remember, he doesn't sleep. He is an angel. He does not need to sleep. He is an eternal being, though he is not eternal, because he has not existed since before time. Okay? Please understand that. But Satan wakes up each morning and he says, how am I going to hurt them? How am I going to kill them? How am I going to steal from them? And how am I going to destroy them? And that's what he does every day. But the Lord Jesus says to us, don't worry about those things. Seek after my Father. Seek after me. And all these things shall be added unto you. Have you ever noticed that that's what that says? Look at it once again. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom. That means God. Seek God. Because it all belongs to him, doesn't it? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Who did God send as our righteousness? Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the Father. Seek ye first the Son. And then all these things shall be added unto you. That's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit leads us into, and then what he said? Will lead us into all things. Brothers and sisters, do you see what God is saying here? Oh, he's got us covered so much. But we have to open our eyes. We have to open our mouths. We need to open our ears and speak the truth. These things that are happening in our world today are attacks against Christianity. They are attacks against the church. They are attacks against Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody fool you. And any politician that tries to tell you that this is about guns or a sexual preference, they're wrong. They themselves are either lying or have believed the delusion. We need to see this delusion is here, it is real. Let us open our eyes and let us be clear. Jesus Christ is putting things back into place. He's got to do that before he comes. Before he comes, he is going to see that the church is prepared. That's my job. That's part of my job. To make sure you are prepared to hear the word of God. And some people aren't going to like it. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. And that's the way I feel. I'm sorry because you won't accept it. But I'm not sorry because you won't accept it. It's your choice. You see, that's how our nation was created. It's your choice. You do not have to be a Christian. But we who run the nation are going to be Christian in our principles, morals, and values, because that's what makes everybody want to come to this United States. That is what has made us the greatest nation. The greatest experiment of all time was to get rid of tyranny and to give the power to common people who held God as their king. We've forgotten that. We've walked away from it. It's time for the church to reclaim it. It's time for us to understand who we are, whose we are, and act in accordance thereof. Father God, we come before you this day. Lord God, please don't turn off the thingy, Ryan. I know you probably already did. But Father God, we are sinners, each and every one of us here. I can't stand on that pulpit and pray this prayer. We've got to admit where we've screwed up, Lord. I think about the children from Columbine until this latest shooting. Because we, the church, have not spoken up and truly said what is real, that these attacks are against Christians, that they continue coming and our government even comes after us. Lord God, I pray that the church today would understand who they are and what they are. And that our fault, though not in full, but yes in part, has led to the death of these. Because we've kept our mouths shut. Because we have not walked as we should walk. And Lord, your word tells us that we must truly confess our sins. If any man comes before the altar to bring a gift and he realizes he has aught with a brother, that he is to go, leave your gift, and make right. So today, Lord, I need to make right. Because I have not spoken where I should speak. I have not pointed where I should have pointed. I have not been the light nor the salt where I should have been. And each of us here is guilty of that truth. So Lord God, we just ask that you would continue to move in the life of this church and out into this world, that we may truly be the light of Jesus Christ. Because Father, I'm telling you right now, unless the church stands up, we're doomed. And we understand, Lord, that you are coming. We remember that that's what Easter is all about. So Lord, as we begin this song, this prayer continues, because there are people in this congregation just like me that need to be at this altar confessing their sin and asking for forgiveness and knowing that, Lord God, we have not done everything we should be doing. That we have turned a blind eye to the things of this world when we should be men and women of truth. Lord, call your church to stand up, because if we don't, we will be run down. As we come to you, Lord, in this prayer, we come to you, and yes, Ryan, keep that thing moving if it's still on. As we come to you with this song, gracious Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The church is open.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.